Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And in saying that, I want Him to be yours. In saying that, He can be yours. In saying that, He came to be yours. For Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's you today, friend. Listen, you can get out of the lost category and be put in the saved category just in a moment of time if you'll just simply repent of your sins and by faith receive Christ as your Savior. He wants to save you. He's made a plan of salvation, friend, such so that whosoever will could be saved. And if you want to be, God's made a plan for you to be. Well, excited about the message God has laid on my heart and the song Debbie has chosen for this program today. And we're just terribly excited that you have decided to tune in and listen to this old country preacher one more time. Can I say this of the making of this program? At the original making of this program in 2017, and I rarely date these things, I rarely do that for a purpose, starting my 30th year of radio ministry, isn't that amazing? Oh, friend, I appreciate you being a part of it like you are, like you have been, and like you will be with the grace of God. And I want nothing more to honor my Savior. That's what Debbie and I want to do. We want to bring glory to Him. Listen, friend, we want to honor the One that died for us at a place called Calvary. And I'll tell you what else we want to do. We want to seek to bring men to Christ as we desire to build Christ in men. That's our mission. I believe that's our calling, the calling of the Church of Jesus Christ who shed His blood for our sin and all. I'm glad that you're a part of it. Well, we're glad you're tuned in. Debbie's got a song queued up, tuned up, and ready to go. The title of it is Standing in the Light, and you'll find out when the message begins why this song has been chosen to go along with this message. I'll meet you in the book of Jude. Right before the book of the Revelation, the last, second to last book in the Bible. So you turn there with me, and I'll be there just in a few moments of time to look at a message God's laid on my heart. Enjoy the song.
No longer standing in the shadows of night, found rest for my weary soul. Oh, since Jesus saved me, a new life He gave me, now I'm standing in the light of His love. Shadows of night. Since Jesus saved me, a new life He gave me. Now I'm standing in the light of His love. In His word says you must be born again. You must be born from above. So if you gave your heart to Jesus, you're no longer standing in the shadows of night. He gave me, now I'm standing in the light of His love.
I like that, don't you? Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, thank you. You know what, friend? Listen, it's important to where we stand. It's important how we stand according to the Word of God. And friend, we need to be standing in the light of His love. I've opened, as I've told you, my Bible, the book of Jude. The book of Jude, right next door to heaven, actually. The book of Jude, right before the book of the Revelation, right after the book of John, 3 John. And I'm going to read a familiar passage of Scripture. The people were Bible readers. Now, this book of Jude is a great book. It really is written by a half-brother of Jesus who at one time rejected Him, who at one time, along with His other brothers and sisters, you see, Jesus and Jude was a half-brother of Jesus, had the same mother but not the same daddy, and they even said that Jesus was a madman. They thought He had lost His mind a time or two. That's what they accused Him of doing. And here we find Jude. We find Jude who had been converted. We find Jude that had been commissioned by the Spirit of God to write a word from God to you and I. And oh, what a great word that it is. So listen to what he said in verse 11. He said, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore." Oh, listen, friend, I'm going to talk to you today about deliberately choosing the wrong thing. Deliberately choosing the wrong thing. We're living in that day and time when people are doing that. Ecclesiastically, if you'll allow me to say it that way and use that terminology, biblically, maybe say it that way and be more understandable by many, when people are deliberately choosing to go the wrong way when it comes to the relationship with Jesus Christ and the way they, quote, do church, unquote. As we look at and think about the book of Jude, we must understand what Jude was writing about. We must understand what Jude was warning us about, and he's warning about the apostasy that would come in the last days. That's what the book of Jude is about. He focuses on the apostate and the apostasy that will be manifesting itself and is manifesting itself in the last days. That's what the book of Jude is about. It's about the apostate and the apostasy of the latter days. It's a book that parallels 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And oh, friend, I'm telling you, I believe we're neck deep. I believe with all of my heart, we're neck deep in that day and in that hour that Paul said would perceive the second coming of Christ. Over there in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul was writing this second letter to the church of Thessalonica to straighten out and to answer some questions and misconceptions that had been formulated and been the result of a misunderstanding over Paul's first epistle. He wrote the first epistle to the Thessalonians about the rapture of the church, the second coming of Christ, that day and hour when He would come and snatch away those that were ready, those that were redeemed, those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And Paul, my, because of the misunderstanding from that epistle that people had formulated in their mind and in their heart, thinking because they were listening to false teachers and somebody that didn't have the Spirit of God. They had a spirit in them. They didn't have the Spirit of God upon them. They begin to think, oh, what have we done? We've missed the rapture. We've missed the second coming of Christ. And Paul said, listen, in this second letter, he said, no, you haven't. He said, don't want you to be deceived. Listen to what he said in verses 1 and following of chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you or beg you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord and by our gathering unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ or the day of the Lord is at hand. Paul said, listen, some of you are troubled, and you ought not to be. Some of you all have been move by letter that doesn't bear two things. Number one, doesn't bear my name, doesn't bear my signature, doesn't bear my inscription. And more than that, bless God, it doesn't bear the Spirit of God, that undeniable inspiration of the Spirit of Almighty God. And Paul said, listen, you're being troubled in both your mind and in your heart by the wrong spirit, by false teaching. And he said, quit it. Basically, that's what he said. He said, and let me tell you why. He said, look, you've not missed the rapture. But listen, glory to God, there's some listening today that are liable to miss it. If you don't turn to Christ, if you don't run to Christ, if you don't come to Christ, if you don't ask Christ to save you, sir, ma'am, you're going to miss it someday. You're going to miss it. Oh, you won't hear the sound of the trumpet. You'll know something that's happened. You'll see the results of it. You'll see the trouble that follows it. But you won't partake in it. Paul said, listen, you've not missed the rapture. You've not missed the snatching away. You've not missed that taking up of the church, bless God, and that changing from corruption to incorruption, from mortality to immortality. You've not missed that. Paul said, let me tell you why. That day of the Lord shall not come except there come first a falling away. That word, that phrase of falling away first here in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3 is referring to the apostasy. The Greek word is apostasia, and it's talking about a definitive falling away, talking about a specific falling away, talking about a particular falling away. And you know what falling away it's talking about? Talking about that falling away, friend, that would mark a falling away different than any other time. Paul said it is the apostasia. It is the falling away. It is that one that immediately precedes the second coming of Christ. And oh, I believe if we begin to look around, we begin to see what the Word of God says, according to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're living in that. Do you hear me? I believe we're living in that day. And you say, why, preacher? Well, if you begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, you'll find that Paul said, in the last day, perilous times shall come. And from that point on, down through the remainder of that chapter, actually, Paul begins to explain and describe what this day, or that day at that time, of apostasy that he was talking about would look like. Now let me say something. All these characteristics of Paul was referring to have been around for a long time. But listen, here's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, when you look at these, when you begin to see all of them coagulated or gathered together or manifesting themselves at the same time, then you better know, friend, you better know that you're in the last days. You're in that day, bless God, that Jesus could come just at any moment. Paul said, listen, one of my favorite in this, out of the 18 or 19 characteristics of peerless times, of the apostasy of the last days, is verse 5. They'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. They want to be called Christians. They want to be recognized as Christians, but they won't want to live like a Christian. They'll want something called will worship, something that satisfies them, and something that's far away from what Christ commanded and demanded. And listen to what Paul goes on to say in chapter 4. Now look, I'm not preaching on the antidote of apostasy, though maybe I'll do that soon. But that's what he said. That's what he gave us in verses 1 and 2, the antidote of apostasy. And you know what it is? It's preaching the Word of God. Thank God. It's a clear declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of that body of truth the church is founded upon. Bless God, that body of truth that the Word of God speaks to as the faith. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, we need to go back to the old past. We need to quit desiring what man wants and getting on our face before God and in His Word and seeking to find out what God wants. Paul said, listen, I'll tell you what will work and stand against apostasy, and it is a preaching of the gospel, thank God. But he said, let me tell you what the apostate does. Paul said, let me identify him. It says in verses 3 and 4, for the time will come. I believe Paul was here preaching, and I say it like this every time I preach this. He wouldn't say it shall come, he'd say it has come. For the time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they eat to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Now watch this. Here's the biblical definition of apostasy. And listen to what he said. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's where we're at today. We've got preachers that want to quote dialogue a little bit. We've got preachers, bless God, that don't want to offend anybody. Don't want to preach against sin. Don't want to declare, thus saith the Lord. They want you to come and feel good. They want you to come to a spiritual buffet and allow you to pick and choose what you want. I'd rather, bless God, go before God, get on my face before Him, and ask the Holy Spirit to show me what I need rather than what I want. He said in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 15, he said, which have forsaken the right way. You talking about a definition of apostasy. There it is. And gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness. But let me get back. Let me get back to Jude. Let me get back to the message. Y'all know I recently saw an article about 10 cities in the United States of America that they're referring to as post-Christian. Post-Christian in America. Isn't that amazing? Now that may not trouble you any. That may not bother you any. That tears me all to pieces. Do you hear me? I'm talking about America. I'm not talking about someplace over in Iran, Iraq. I'm not talking about London or Britain. I'm talking about the United States of America. America that was founded upon a desire to worship God freely in spirit and in truth. I'm talking about a nation that was founded on the principles of the Word of God. And now we've got 10 cities in America, two of them in the east, in the west coast, and 8 of them on the east coast, up in the northeast that are now referred to as a post-Christian city. You say, what's that mean, preacher? That means that to them the era of Christianity is past, according to a survey done by the Barner Group that had several questions in their questionnaire and that asked some pertinent questions about Christianity, some basic things about Christianity. And if they scored 50% on those questions or more, they were considered and they were listed as a post-Christian era. I'm telling you, friend, listen, we need a revival in America. We need something to wake us up. And the apostates don't have it. They don't have it. They don't develop by chance. They don't come into being by an accident. Do you know what apostasy? It's not the result of an accident, but it is the result of deliberate choices. It's not a result of a mistake. It's not the result of ignorance, but it is a result of a choice. Bless God, to turn away from what they know to be true out of what they know to not be true. I'm telling you, friend, we've been watching, and I continue to watch the Church of Jesus Christ, which is purchased by His own blood, being transformed right before our eyes. Right before our eyes, not for the better, but for the worse. It's being transformed by the emergent church, that pragmatic church, this church age movement, which has moved the one thing that makes the church on the outside, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe me about that, you look at the Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and you'll find one of the most amazing scenes that you'll find anywhere in the Word of God. You say, well, they replace it with, preacher, they replace it with the wrong thing. Deliberate choices are the wrong thing. People have turned worship into something it was never intended to be. They've turned it into something about themselves, something about feeling better, something about liking themselves better. Oh, listen, positive motivation, a positive self-image, but never, friend, although their soul may be moved, their spirit, that spirit spirit is not. They're being entertained, but they're not edified. They're experiencing real worship, but not the real worship. You say, what's real worship, preacher? Something that's designed by man and not by God. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, these characteristics of the men that the Word of God talks about, of apostasy, that are apostates, that Jude records, we're seeing them everywhere. Men who deliberately make the wrong choices. Men who's rebelled against the will of God, the Word of God, and the work of God. And they did it not ignorantly, but intensely. And let me run down through these quickly. My, how time passes. You look at Cain, and that's the first one mentioned. And notice something I didn't notice is, till I began to study again on this today. Notice the verbs in that verse 11 of Jude. He said, number one, they're gone in the way of Cain. Number two, they ran greedily after the heir of Balaam. And number three, they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Can you see the downward progression? Can you see, oh, how negative it is and where it ends? But Cain deliberately forsook God's ways for his own way. He chose religion without righteousness. He chose pride over submission. He chose good works over the blood. And that's what all of these religions that are popping up in our day, That's what they eliminate. That's what they refuse. That's why a lot of the one-time mainline denominations in America have lost their power. They've tried to get rid of the blood. Instead of doing it God's way, they're trying to do it their way. But then he goes on to talk about Balaam. You know what Balaam did? He deliberately prostituted his gifts for gain. He was covetous. Did you know that? I mean, he would do anything for money. He taught people to violate their separated position. He taught that it was okay to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, ministries need support. Men of God need support. But I'm telling you, when these people that are supposed to be men of God turn their ministry into a ministry of merchandise, my, they're just apostates. Do you hear the Word of God? And when people tell you that you can sin all you want and live it up all you want, hey, I'm telling you, friend, they've taken the grace of God and turned it into something that's ugly and awful, something that the Word of God never teaches. I'm telling you, the grace of God doesn't set us free to sin. It sets us free to serve. And then you look at Korah. Korah rebelled against God's authority. I mean, he was motivated by pride. He wanted to intrude into an office that was not his by God, by God's will. You see, Cain rebelled against God's authority in salvation. Balaam rebelled against God's authority in separation. And Korah rebelled against God's authority in service. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, listen, I believe we're in the last days. I believe we can see evidence of the apostasy, the one-of-a-kind apostasy, the apostasy. That will immediately precede the second coming of Christ. You go in a lot of churches nowadays, and the ones that aren't dead, they've gone to a mega church style of worship. And you know what the Word of God says here in the book of Jude? You look at verse 15. The Bible says that, where is that great swelling words? It's in verse 16. They speak great swelling words. Can I give you this quickly? Going off the air today, you know what that means? That means, you know what causes something to swell? Bless God, it's corruption from the inside. You ever seen a deer get hit beside the road? You go by it on a Wednesday, and it looks just sad, doesn't it? But if it doesn't tear its head and limbs off, you let that deer lay by the side of the road, and you come back by it Saturday, especially if it's in hot weather, and it'll be swelled up 2 to 3 times its size. You say, why is it swelling, preacher? Well, there's a process. I'm not going to talk about that. Now, let me give you the result of it. It's rotten on the inside. It's dead on the inside. Oh, look, there's a lot of people that are swelling. I mean to tell you, the borders are growing. They call them mega churches. They're just swelling, and they look good. But I'm afraid. On the inside, they're rotten. You say all of them? No, I don't imagine all of them. Paul said some preach Christ this way. Others preach Christ that way. Paul said, I'm not putting an approval on those that preach Him wrong. But Paul said, I'll tell you what I can get happy at. I can get happy that Christ is preached. Ah, listen, friend. We're living in peerless times. We're living in dangerous times. We're living in times that men are deceiving and being deceived. And we ought to be, listen, we ought to be discerning. We ought to worship God in spirit. Now listen to this, and truth. Oh, we ought to want to go and be edified, not entertained. We ought to want to go and do it God's way, not man's way. We ought to want to go to a church where Christ is the center of everything. And what we do, sing, preach, teach, come or say or do, is all for the glory of God. I'm telling you, friend, listen, you just don't fall into apostasy. You deliberately choose the wrong things. That's what Cain did. That's what Balaam did. That's what Korah did. That's what I'm afraid a lot of churches in America are doing today. Oh, sir, ma'am, don't let it be yours. If you're in the wrong place, get to the right place. Hey, listen, if Christ is on the outside, you go out there and join Him. You find you a place where He's on the inside, and do it soon. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.